ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Trump administration offering a mass buyout to federal employees as it tries to restructure the federal government. A federal judge temporarily blocking the freeze on all spending for programs. ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
Trump's plan to halt potentially billions of dollars in federal assistance has been placed on hold. The broad directive sparked confusion even at bigger programs like Medicaid, which provides health insurance for 72 million low-income Americans. States reporting they couldn't access the Medicaid online portal, instead receiving a warning about possible payment delays due to executive orders regarding potentially unallowable grant payments.
A vote today expected on the confirmation of Attorney General nominee Pam Bondi. Confirmation hearings begin today for HHS Secretary nominee Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Death toll in India 17 when pilgrims stormed a riverbank where people had been sleeping. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A former state assemblyman has died. David O. Martin, 93 of rural Muscadet, died January 22nd at home. In 1960, Dave was elected to the Wisconsin Assembly and represented Nina Menasha from 1961 to 71. He ran as the Republican candidate for lieutenant governor on the ticket with Jack Olson against Patrick Lucy and Martin Schreiber. During his tenure in the legislature, Dave was known for his ability to work in a bipartisan manner to achieve passage of legislation. Issues related to the environment, education, economic development, and good government were important to him. Two signature legislative initiatives attributed to Representative Martin were the Wisconsin Wild Rivers Law, which passed both houses of the legislature unanimously, and establishment of the Wisconsin Vocational Technical System, which he co-authored with former Representative David Obey. He held numerous leadership roles and committee chairs, including Assistant Majority Leader. He worked with former governors Gaylord Nelson and Warren Nelson during the 1960s, which he termed the environmental decade in Wisconsin, on a number of bills that laid the foundation for future initiatives to establish Wisconsin as a national leader in environmental protection and outdoor recreation. Dave remained active in Republican politics throughout his life, including the 2024 elections. He also served on the board of several organizations and supported many other groups. He served on the Board of Common Cause of Wisconsin, as Richland County Representative to the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board, was president of the Three Eagles Foundation Incorporated, was a strong supporter of Southwest Wisconsin Technical College and the River Alliance of Wisconsin. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks lose in Portland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Portland Trailblazers have a losing record, 27-29, and yet they beat the Bucks by a final score of 125-117. Were there some bad play calls by the referees on duty? Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I don't know if that was... I thought they got what they wanted all game, honestly. Drove the ball the entire game, beat us off the dribble the entire game. Had a ton of dare shots early on, which gets guys going. They make a couple, then they feel good. I never thought we established any kind of defensive presence throughout the game. I thought our offense was awful. I really did. I don't care if we were scoring. We didn't have the beautiful ball movement, next pass, hitting the open guy the entire night. We just didn't. The ball stuck all night. Played a lot of iso ball. And we're good enough on certain nights to get away with that.
So the Bucks head to Texas next to take on the Spurs Friday night in San Antonio with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny, not as warm today, but still a very nice late January day with highs in the upper 30s, still a bit on the breezy side. Mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid-20s. Sunny and warmer again on Thursday, still breezy, with highs near 50. Current temperature is 33.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Mr. Green Bay showbiz himself, Frank Hermans, who joins me in studio to discuss his new show. Then I talk movies and TV with the Wisconsin Film Festival's Ben Reiser.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. I am not Mr. Earl Ingram. Mr. Earl Ingram dealing with a little bit of some car troubles this morning. So we're going to hold down the fort on his behalf. I am Luke Mathers here at Civic Media, jack of all trades, number of different titles and hats that I wear. But thrilled to be with you folks here on the airwaves this Wednesday, January 29th morning, and I got Calvin on the board. Cal, how are we doing on this Wednesday?
Yeah, you know, it's wild and crazy morning at Civic Media, but I'm doing pretty good.
When you woke up this morning, did you anticipate doing the show, the Earl Ingram Show with me, Luke Mathers, on this Wednesday morning?
No, I didn't. I was about a half hour away when I got a call from Earl, and I was like, oh no, what could this be? And yeah, he's having some car issues,
and hopefully everything's all right. Earl's okay. The car is just not working the way that it's supposed to be working, so hopefully Earl's gonna get situated, taken care of. We'll be with you here for the next 2 hours, 8 to 10 a.m every morning on the Earl Ingram Show. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can feel free to join us at 855-752-4842. Again, that's 855-752-4842. You can call or text that number at any point. Going to be looking forward to a conversation. Earl's regular guest, Dr. Robert Craig, coming up in the second hour, the 9 o'clock hour this Wednesday morning. Dr. Craig's going to be joining us to discuss a number of the executive orders that have been signed in the first couple days of the Donald Trump second administration, and talking about how they affect Wisconsinites here across our great state. So looking forward to that conversation, and really grateful that Dr. Craig is going to be able to join me again, one of Earl's regular guests. His other regular guests, Robert Miranda and the excellent folks over at Freshwater for Life Action Coalition, not going to be joining us this morning. Be sure to tune in next week, Wednesday, for a continuation of Earl's conversation with those terrific folks working on addressing lead in our freshwater systems and lead pipes in the service lines to houses and schools and in all portions of our day-to-day life. But those folks going to be joining Earl next Wednesday. If you want to catch up with all of the conversations that Earl's had with the folks like Robert Miranda from Freshwater for Life Action Coalition, you can check out the podcast of the Earl Ingram Show. Head over to the Civic Media website. You can click on Civic Media Shows. You can see all of the past podcast editions of the Earl Ingram Show, and you can listen to every single one, from all the great topics and conversations about lead to every other hour of the Earl Ingram Show. You can check them out there. You can also find them on Apple and Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But Cal, one of the things that was developing this week, and a lot of different news flying around, but haven't heard a whole lot of discussion on this one in particular, and would love to hear your take on it. 855-752-4842. But one of the pretty shocking letters that came out from the Office for Budget, Office of Management and Budget, OMB, coming out this week, letting federal workers know that if they currently work from home, if you currently have remote work, hybrid work, you don't do all of the federal work that you do for the country from an office, from a work building owned by the federal government. You got a letter this week. And that letter essentially outlined that workers have a timeline to respond, and you have to be back in the office coming up here in February. But if you don't want to accept those terms, you can do what's being framed as a buyout. But I don't necessarily believe that is the appropriate framing. That's how I've been hearing folks talk about it, how it's being discussed. But there's this line in the letter that essentially says if you want to buy out, we're going to pay you through, I believe, I got to pull up the letter here, Cal. It's been a little chaotic this morning, but I want to say through August or September. And you'll get compensated through that. There's alerts going out saying, wait, hang on, from federal employees, from federal employee unions saying, hold up. There are factors that will play into this for pensions, for retirement, for a lot of the different aspects. There's even questions of whether or not it's legal for the executive branch to be able to offer something like this to federal employees. And again, here in Wisconsin, we know that our state is unfortunately the prologue for what we're seeing around the nation when it comes to these things. Because a year ago, not even a year ago, March, here in the state of Wisconsin, we had the same conversations going on between Republican elected officials in the Wisconsin state capitol and officials in the governor's office and in the Evers administration going back and forth about the effectiveness of where our state workers were working since the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, again, with the pandemic, working to stop the spread of COVID-19, to assist those that are most vulnerable in our communities, that are immunocompromised, that had a higher risk to die or have severe complications if contracting COVID-19. A lot of different employers, not just the state of Wisconsin, not just the U.S. federal government, employers around the country and, in fact, around the world used hybrid work to pivot, to allow their workforce to work from home, to be able to stop the spread, to avoid spreading COVID-19. Now, since the pandemic, a lot of different offices, a lot of different employers and employees are changing the degree to what they're working from home. Some, totally fine. Utilize it, work from home. That is the new normal for those employees. Others, more of a hybrid model, moving some of the days into the office, some of the days working from home. Others, very strict and stringent, saying, no, you need to be back in the workplace. You need to be back in the office if you want to keep this job. Now, a year ago, just under a year ago, March of 2024, Wisconsin started doing audits and having conversations about the worker productivity and all of the aspects of your job being covered if you're working from home. We've seen those audits, and Republican lawmakers here in Wisconsin held up the audits saying, hey, we're finding out that, you know, more people need to be swiping their badges and go back into work. The pandemic's over. Everybody needs to head back in the office. They tried to pass it in a budget. Evers vetoed it. A return to work was proposed in the last biannual budget by Republican lawmakers here in Wisconsin. It was vetoed out of the budget in part by Democratic Governor Tony Evers here in the state of Wisconsin. So we saw this battle unfold over the last 2 years. We're about to enter another budget cycle. I have a feeling this is going to be coming up again. But now we're seeing, not just like Wisconsin workers were being told that they had to go back into office, even though the studies and the audits pretty inconclusive, not enough information about how effective and how productive employees are when they're working remotely. Cal, I know you and I, we wish that we could have these microphones in at home, just be able to roll out of bed. We got a pretty good setup for Mr. Pat Kreitlow. He kind of got some nice ability to do that. But when it comes to running the radio station, Cal, there are some aspects. We got to be here in a physical location. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I have to be in the booth. But, I mean, there's even some things that I can do from home. I mean, we have some meetings in the afternoon that are virtual that I oftentimes take from home. So, I mean, the whole thing behind this, it's control. They need to exert control. And I think there's also a part of it that is that anything that was created during the pandemic is a democratic idea, and therefore they have to do away with it.
You think that's what I could see that being kind of, it does feel like anything. I don't even know, I guess, if it's correlation with that it's a democratic idea, but I think there's a lot of folks that just want to forget the pandemic. If it's pandemic related, they want to do away with it, because if you are reminded of the pandemic, if you're reminded of the lives that we lost, of the jobs that were lost, of the uncertainty, because that's truly, I think, what a lot of people feared the most, was the uncertainty of what was coming next throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. It was a novel virus. We had never seen it before. It morphed, it mutated, it turned into all the different strains and variations of the virus, the uncertainty that it caused, the unknowing of what was coming next. And I tend to agree that people want to forget about it. They want to put it past us, that it's still not around. There's folks, I want to say only about a third of the population receiving COVID-19 boosters, far below the amount of people that go in and get flu shots, annual flu shots. And that is even seeing numbers dip and dive now because of the association that, oh, shots, vaccines have to do with the COVID politics that arose throughout the pandemic and post. But I want to hear from you folks. 855-752-4844. Again, I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Earl Ingram on this Wednesday morning. I got Calvin on the board. You can join us on the phone line. We're going to be joined by Dr. Robert Craig coming up at the top of the 9 o'clock hour for a conversation about what the executive orders the second Trump administration has been rolling out will mean for us here in the state of Wisconsin. But talking about this remote work, this demand, this buyout, and I got a feeling as well that the buyout framing isn't the appropriate framing. And so we're going to dive a little bit into that and talk about what is exactly going to be on the line for the federal workers that say, hey, I'm going to take this buyout because of that uncertainty. I don't know what's coming next, but what might happen for those folks if they do take it and all of a sudden the rug's pulled out from underneath them. Folks, you're listening to The Earl Ingram Show. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Earl on this Wednesday morning. Join the conversation. Give us a call. Send us a text, 855-752-4842. You're listening to The Earl Ingram Show across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Mark your calendars. The Pine River Sports Association Spring Gun Show is coming up on February 7th and 8th at the Richland Center Community Center. Join us Friday from 3 to 8 and Saturday 8 to 3 for this highly anticipated event featuring up to 70 tables of guns and related items. Enjoy concessions provided by the local Boy Scout troop while you browse. Admission is just $5. Kids 12 and under get in free with an adult. The Pine River Sports Association can't wait to see you February 7th and 8th at the PRSA Spring Gun Show. Don't miss it!
Contact D&T Pump and Well for well service and pump replacement. It's springtime and D&T is scheduling spring and summer projects. Mary and Derek, owners of D&T Pump and Well, are insured and do new installs, and they fix existing systems, including submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@americanfoodsgroup.com.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the,
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, lean left, straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Earl Ingram on this Wednesday morning. You can join Calvin and I on the phones. Call or text 855-752-4842. Mr. Earl Ingram will return tomorrow morning. Going to have a great show in store for you with Earl tomorrow. Judge Susan Crawford going to be joining the program coming up tomorrow at 9 a.m. with Earl. So you're going to want to be sure to tune in for that conversation with Earl and Judge Crawford Thursday, January 30th, 9 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers filling in for Earl on this Wednesday morning, talking about RTO, return to office. That is the essence of one of the letters sent out by the Office for Management and Budget by the second Trump administration, letting federal workers know that they need to return to office for work, that if they want, they could take a buyout. Now, the terms of those buyouts seem fairly, what's the opposite of ironclad, I guess? I'm not quite certain what the opposite, pretty frail. Because the terms in this email, if you reply, resign, that's all it asks for. So just a one-word reply to this mass email. I don't know about you folks out there, but when mass email chains are responded to accidentally, reply all, feel like there's a huge opportunity for that in this as well. And that's just a pain. But that's not the legal binding way to handle the federal workforce returning to the office or taking a buyout. And the terms of the buyout are not guaranteed. So federal workers that decide to take it, what guarantees are there out there that all of a sudden those terms are going to be ironclad, that they're going to be held up? And the second Trump administration honoring those buyouts. Because I recall during the first Trump administration, a promise, a vow for the start of the administration, Donald Trump promised he was not going to accept a paycheck. He was going to donate his paychecks as president of the United States to a different organization, charity, cause each quarter. He was going to make those donations. I think there was one giant check once in the beginning of 2017. And all of a sudden, that ironclad, that guarantee, that promise He wasn't going to be anybody's president but ours. Back in 2017, he was going to donate his paycheck. He wasn't going to profit off the American people. That's all been gone and done away with. So for the federal workers that are sitting, if you received this email, would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. Again, I'm Luke Mathers filling in for Earl Ingram on this Wednesday morning. If you received this email, are you thinking about taking the buyout? Have you already taken it? Do you know friends or loved ones that are contemplating it? Because the degree of federal employees that have this sitting in their inbox, that are weighing the decision whether to work from home, start to make the commute in, for some folks, because they had the ability to work remote, they could be hours. They could be hours a drive one way from the office that they now need to return to. For others, it may not be tenable for them at all to be able to go into the office. Maybe they sold their car since then. Maybe the life they lived pre-COVID, before the remote options were available, is a life that they haven't lived in years. 855-752-4842. Want to hear from you on this Wednesday morning. Cal?
Yeah, so I can't attest to the veracity of this. This could just be completely made up, but this came across in a Reddit thread that I was looking at, and it's a tweet. Apparently, this memo sent to government employees offering them buyouts very closely mirrors an email Musk sent to Twitter employees in 2022 down to the same subject line.
Down to the same subject line. Okay. So it seems like this is, if it is truly right out of the playbook of Twitter, folks, for any of you that aren't Twitter users out there and haven't had a front row seat to what the social media site formerly known as Twitter, now called X, has transformed over the last three-ish years since Elon Musk purchased it and started making changes, that's a very fearful sign if this is the starting out of a playbook from there. But Elon has taken a book, or taken a page out of that book already with the creation of the administration's Department of Government Efficiency, the meme doge, which, if you're not familiar with what memes are, it's essentially a joke cryptocurrency and has gained popularity. And again, we'll go back to what we discussed earlier, the instability of cryptocurrencies, the instability of meme coins, the chaos that things like that, instability like that can cause. If that's the direction that our federal workforce is going in, I fear, along with the giant funding freeze that the administration has signaled it's going to pursue, that a federal judge stepped in yesterday, minutes before it was going to be enacted. But these assaults, these attacks on our federal employees, the individuals, the civil servants that do not serve at the pleasure of the president, that work only to conduct our nation's business and ensure that the services that we as American taxpayers expect to receive from paying taxes. This is an all-out assault on those. Folks, I'm Luke Mathers filling in for Earl Ingram here on The Earl Ingram Show. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call. Send us a text, 855-752-4842. You can call or text right from the Civic Media app. You're listening to us across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Republican-backed candidate in Wisconsin's pivotal state Supreme Court race says he thinks anyone convicted of assaulting law enforcement officers should serve their entire sentence. But Brad Schimmel also said he didn't object to President Donald Trump using his power to pardon. Schimmel made the comment Monday when asked about Trump's granting of clemency to about 1,500 rioters who were convicted of crimes related to the role in the 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Later in a written statement, Schimmel appeared to disagree with Trump's pardons and said that anyone convicted of assaulting law enforcement should serve their full sentence. Republicans want voters to curb the uniquely expansive partial veto powers that Wisconsin governors from both parties have enjoyed for nearly a century. Wisconsin is the only state where governors can partially veto spending bills by striking words, numbers, and punctuation to create new meaning or spending amounts. In most states, governors can only eliminate or reduce spending amounts. Republican state lawmakers on Monday took the latest swing at reducing the veto powers, proposing a constitutional amendment that would eliminate a governor's powers to delete words and rework sentences in bills that spend taxpayer money. The Republican-controlled Wisconsin legislature has asked that a liberal state Supreme Court justice step aside in a pending case that seeks to overturn a 2011 law that effectively ended collective bargaining for most state workers. If Justice Janet Protasiewicz agrees not to hear the case, the court would be deadlocked 3-3 between liberals and conservatives. A Dane County circuit judge last month overturned the bulk of the law. The judge determined it was unconstitutional. The judge put the ruling on hold pending the appeal. Unions that brought the case have asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to take it directly, skipping the appeals court. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lady Gaga is not used to getting bad reviews when it comes to her music or acting. That ended big time when Joker Folie à Deux was panned by critics and audiences alike. Gaga put things in perspective in a recent chat with Elle magazine, saying people just sometimes don't like some things. She sounded unfazed, though, continuing that fear of failure is worse than actual failure, and if it takes over, can cause mayhem. Don't you hate it when your parole officer puts the kibosh on you hosting Saturday Night Live? Martha Stewart sure does. She whined to the perfect audience on The Tonight Show starring cheerleader Jimmy Fallon about how she missed her opportunity to host the show 20 years ago because of said parole officer. Maybe she'll get another opportunity since time has passed since she was convicted for conspiracy and obstruction of justice, as well as an insider trading scandal. It's so stressful when rich celebrities don't get everything they want. Maybe she can cry on her equally as annoying BFF Snoop Dogg's shoulder. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny, not as warm today, but still a very nice late January day with highs in the upper 30s, still a bit on the breezy side. Mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid-20s. Sunny and warmer again on Thursday, still breezy, with highs near 50. Current temperature is 33.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll sort through the Wisconsin Supreme Court race with our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I am Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Ingram on this Wednesday morning. You can join me and Calvin here on this great show, 855-752-4842. You can call or text that number. You can also do so right from the Civic Media app. It is free, easy to download. Head over to your app store, whether it's the Apple App Store, Google Play Store. Type in Civic Media, download the app, take us with you wherever you go. When you're listening on your favorite stations like WAUK in southeastern Wisconsin or any of the other terrific stations around the state, you can just click right from there. Call or text. There are easy buttons at the bottom of the screen to engage with the show. Talking about the maybe it's not your thing. Remote work, if you're a federal employee, getting a return to office memo from the second Trump administration this past week dictating you need to be back in the office. Now we've seen here, there's been coverage of what could change, how this could transform and actually save taxpayer money when it comes to how our government workforces work. If you have a job that could be well suited for work from home, unlike as Cal and I discussed earlier in the hour, we got to show up to the radio station. Portions of our job, we don't have to do all of it in the studios. So therefore, we do a number of work here at Civic Media, a number of employees remote throughout the state of Wisconsin. But for the shows, when you got to host a show, when you got to produce a show, you got to be in person. So there's a very hybrid combination here, what we do at Civic Media. Like that, a lot of government employees, you don't have to be in an office to conduct all of that government work. Depending on what it is, our DMVs, yeah, we're going to have folks still be at the DMV to process your driver's license renewal, to do road tests. It's just an example. Yes, there will still be in-person aspects of state and federal employees. But for the individuals that can have a hybrid routine or a fully remote routine for work that does not require them to be in the office, that can allow our state and federal workforces to consolidate office buildings. It prevents you from having to pay rent at areas where those governments are renting. It allows you to sell off some assets to a positive to taxpayers. Here in Madison, the discussion with how many employees the state had that could be remote workers, that could be alleviated from having to come into the office every single day, that they can do their remote work from home, that they can consolidate buildings here. The real estate prices on the Isthmus, where several of these state buildings are, it could be pretty lucrative for the state to be able to sell off some of those assets, not have to maintain them, because for many of them, there's been deferred maintenance. But it also allows us to have a diverse workforce for the state government so that not everybody that wants to work for the state of Wisconsin, for the U.S. federal government, has to be in Madison or Washington, D.C. That's good for our communities across the state of Wisconsin. Having folks that can work for the Department of Administration, excuse me, for the Department of Workforce Development, for the Department of Revenue, that can be located outside of Dane County, that is a net positive for all of the counties other than Dane County. It allows us to be able to have voices in the state government in all levels, to be working on these different administrations, these different agencies, these different programs to represent all of Wisconsin. You hear a lot of people that are very upset at Madison or Washington, D.C. that seem to be in favor of forcing folks back to work in office buildings in Madison and in Washington, D.C. or be subject to a buyout, be subject to this back and forth, depending on who's in the administration, what kind of work policies you can have as a career federal service employee. Want to hear your thoughts. 855-752-4842. We got Jim in Brookfield on the line, Calvin. Jim, what are your thoughts on this morning?
I think this is an initial shot across the bow from Mr. Elon Musk aimed at federal workers, and he's looking bottom line, just very short-sighted, to cut the budget. And again, it's short-sighted because what they don't realize and see long-term is that when you give people like this an ultimatum, you are going to lose people, good, qualified, experienced employees. Okay, who are you going to replace these employees with? Somebody with less experience, or even not, not replace them at all. That's going to directly affect the services that our government should be and has been providing to us. We're going to notice that everything from, our taxes, licensing, services from our government. And regarding the issue of working from home or teleworking, working remotely, it's wrong for them to blackmail them. So either come back to the office or take this offer, which is not guaranteed. But also, again, it's very short-sighted because you nailed it, Luke, right on the head. It can be very effective for government agencies and the private sector to allow people to have a hybrid or work remotely because you no longer have to rent these huge office spaces that you have to rent, heat and cool and whatnot, the expense of that. You're cutting down on commute time. And for someone who did telework for part of his career, I can say there are plenty of metrics that can be implemented to see that you are doing your job, the work performance. There's plenty of work metrics to see if it's getting done, check the boxes. You can actually even work more because you're eliminating that commute time. And you can actually work more hours per day and actually be as productive, if not more productive. So, again, I think this is very short-sighted on the Trump administration. It's just old school, actually now archaic and outdated thinking that everybody has to be, in one city, one building from 9 to 5 every day, Monday through Friday. It's similar to their logic with voting. Everybody has to vote one day on election day from 7 to 7, whatever. You can't, have any mail-in ballots or anything like that. It's very, very short-sighted. It's archaic. And it's unfortunate that we're seeing a return to this type of logic.
Appreciate the phone call, Jim. Yeah, it very much is, I think, a shot across the bow. I think the federal employees that are, that are contemplating taking this offer, taking the resignation offer and the buyout, again, not the appropriate framing because there's no guarantee. It is not ironclad. It is going to be a very fragile promise to those federal workers. I fear not even a fragile promise, but more of a target for those individuals that they see that there is an opportunity for them to be gone. Folks, you're listening to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Luke Mathers filling in on Mr. Ingram's behalf this Wednesday morning. You can join the program just like Jim in Brookfield, 855-752-4842, or you could be like OL calling in from the Northwoods. OL, what's on your mind this Wednesday morning?
Well, I'm doing great. I just want to say this doesn't sound like a buyout to me. It sounds like extortion. It sounds like you either do it our way or it's my way or the highway, and those people have a contract. They have they belong to unions. They shouldn't be forced out to be replaced by people who have no idea what's going on. And I don't think they should allow themselves to be treated that way. I think that they need to perhaps look at why are big business companies use not only outsourcing here in America, but outsourcing to other countries. And that's okay for big business, but now they're saying you can't work remote from home for your own country. That's just wrong. And
appreciate the phone call, OL. Yeah, I agree. It is seemingly a mistreatment of our federal employees, and it's going to be framed as a buyout. But I'm agreeing with you and Jim that this is not the term buyout is very loosely applied here, because it is going to be, I think we're going to see legal battles over this one. There are going to be unions that represent these federal employees. There's going to be individuals that are looking to fight back against this demand, and the presumption that if you take this buyout, if you take these terms of what's being presented as a federal employee, that it really does feel like a lose-lose situation right now. That there is not a winning solution other than heading back into the office, putting your head down, and like many federal service workers that we have, doing the work, often thankless work, the now attacked work of providing the services that our federal government does for everyday citizens here in Wisconsin and around the country, that goes for granted. The people aren't going to realize our services provided by federal employees, by federal money, until they're gone. And it is going to be a interesting dynamic to keep an eye on about which agencies, which offices, which employees are all going to be affected by this going forward. Because I fear, OL, you said that they're going to be replaced by individuals that don't know how to do the jobs or are not as skilled as them. I fear they're not going to be replaced at all. That these individuals that do take the offer to resign, regardless of whether or not they get any compensation for that resignation under these terms that are being presented to them currently, regardless of that, I don't think there's anyone coming to fill those roles. If Calvin's right, this is a page out of the playbook that Elon Musk used when he took over Twitter and created X. There were not engineers running to that platform to all of a sudden start to improve it, to make it better, to fill those roles that went gone. The money saved by cutting those roles, those positions, those services offered, it was a money saver. It came down to the fact that, oh, those are salaries. Those are benefits. Those are employees that we no longer have to pay here at X, at Twitter. That all of a sudden, Elon Musk, as the owner of Twitter, could start saving money. And that's what I fear. This goes in hand with the attempted freeze of federal funding, is that all of that money saved, all of the efficiency, all of the services lost by moves like these are going to go into tax cuts for the ultra rich. And the middle class folks that have been benefiting from all of those services, for the state governments, for the local governments that now have been stuck with the bag of constituents expecting those services that were once provided or supported by the federal government, now have to find a way to provide them for residents. It's going to be those individuals that are hurt the most by federal employees who take this resignation offer and are not replaced and their services are lost. Folks, you're listening to The Earl Ingram Show. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Earl Ingram on this Wednesday morning. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call. Send us a text, 855-752-4842. You are listening to The Earl Ingram Show across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot. all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Earl on this Wednesday morning. You can join us here on the show, 855-752-4842. We're going to be joined coming up at the top of the 9 o'clock hour by Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, discussing the many, many executive orders signed over this first week of the second Trump administration and how it affects Wisconsinites here across our great state. So you want to stay tuned for that conversation. You're going to want to stay tuned to Civic Media all day long. We've got Matt and Air on Air coming up after this fine program, the Earl Ingram Show. Jane, Matt and Air hosting that 10 to noon. Almost shared Earl's time slot, Cal. But what's coming up on Matt and Air on Air? You and Jane hosting this fine morning.
Yeah, well, at 10:30, we'll be joined by Emily Cephos from the Democratic Party of Outagamie County. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll be joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And to end the show, like always, we'll have This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
All right. Any teaser on what This Shouldn't Be a Thing's related to, at least today? Not to put you on the spot or anything like that. Hey, folks, you're going to want to stay tuned.
Jane's keeping it a secret for now.
There you go. Jane's keeping it a secret for now. A nice Fox Valley edition of Matt and Air on Air coming up later this morning here across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then following Jane, Mr. Todd Alba and the Todd Alba Show from noon until 2, going to be joined by Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow, as well as Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project, senior advisor over there, discussing all of the news of the day and how it relates to us here in the state of Wisconsin as well. So you just want to turn on Civic Media in the background. Keep us rolling all day long. We got fine, excellent programming coming up for you on this Wednesday afternoon, or throughout the day into the Wednesday afternoon. Let's head back over to the phone lines again. You can join us 855-752-4842. We got CJ from Stoughton. Speaking of individuals who have the radio on all day long, CJ, how are we doing on this Wednesday morning?
Hey, Luke, thanks for taking my call. I don't get a chance to talk to you or Kelvin very often, but thanks for picking up.
Absolutely. Hey, CJ, when I needed to fill in for Earl this morning, because I had a feeling, I had an inclination that there would be a chance that you and I got to talk today.
I'm sure you are very excited about that, Luke. Well, thanks. Because accountability is a good thing. And, you know, just like the elections, there's a difference between an audit and a recount. Accountability for these employees to have to come in and prove that they are doing their job, whereas stay at home was set up for COVID. It wasn't mandatory. So a contract that you speak of, them forcing them to come and do the job in the office is a great thing. I'm so happy about it. And yes, Donald Trump donated his entire salary, where if you look at, like, President
Where did
Obama,
he donate it to, CJ? CJ, where did he donate it to?
He donates it back to the Treasury. The Treasury. The United States Treasury. That's where it goes to. He signs his check back to the American taxpayer, something that the Biden family certainly didn't do. They're taking
All right, CJ. I get that you contributed to this portion, and we'll bring it down here now. I'll believe it when I see it. I still have not seen the Treasury receiving the paycheck. So speaking of audits, speaking of the difference, we should be able to audit that. We should be able to see it as American taxpayers rather than just a fanfare and pomp and circumstance at the podium in the press briefing room with a giant check and actually, you know, not seeing the receipts. But I would like to know, CJ, and folks out there that maybe agree with that you got to be back in the office to be productive. If that were the case, would we not see the private sector, the free market, forcing every of their employees back into the office? Do we really believe that these federal workers are just on a free ride, that they're not getting the things done that they need to get done? Were Medicaid payments late yesterday because federal workers weren't doing the work? No, Medicaid portals around the country were shut down because of the actions of the second Trump administration. Not because federal employees who clock in and do a hard day's work every day, whether it's remote, hybrid, or in person, are now being forced back into the offices. But appreciate the phone call, CJ. You could be like him. 855-752-4842. We got Tom from West Dallas calling in. Tom, what's on your mind this Wednesday morning?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. First of all, let's just talk about Trump real quick and donating his money. Do you realize that this chump change for him, that paycheck he gets, and if he really does donate it, which he did one. I don't believe it at all because, again, it's chump change, and Trump doesn't let any dime go by that he can't make money on. But this whole thing about that is, do you realize that how many times is he at Mar-a-Lago? Pretty much all the time. How many times is he golfing? All the time. How much are we spending putting up Secret Service, his entourage, all the other people who are involved in with Trump who have to travel with him?
That's an interesting point, Tom. I appreciate the phone call. You can be like Tom, 855-752-4842. But yeah, the president, during his first term, did spend a lot of time working remotely. In Mar-a-Lago, Doral, Doral, Bedminster, many different places that he was remote working. But now, federal employees getting sent back into the office. Going to be joined by Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action Wisconsin. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Earl on this Wednesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show across the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Mayor Keveler Johnson says the freeze on federal grants impacts literally tens of millions of dollars to the city of Milwaukee. Plus, should you get fired for doing porn on your own time? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 2 million federal employees are being given buyout offers.
In an email with the subject line, fork in the road, those interested in the buyout told to reply with one word, resign, and given until February 6th, just 8 days. There are a few exceptions, including military personnel, postal staff, and immigration and national security officials. The plan designed not just to trim the federal budget, but to ensure a workforce that is reliable, loyal, and trustworthy, according to the email. Which also says workers who do lose their jobs will be treated with dignity and afforded the protections in place for such positions.
ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce. A federal judge temporarily blocking the Trump administration's order freezing billions in federal grants, loans, and assistance programs. President Trump signing a law today that mandates detention and potential deportation for people in the United States illegally who are accused of, but not yet convicted of, theft and violent crimes. This is ABC News.